What are the? I don't know how many times I've read the Gospel of John, chapter 2, about Jesus changing water into wine, but today our eyes are lighted upon the fact that they were told, the servants were told, to fill the water jars, and this they did. They filled them to the brim. And I began to think about, you know, why to the brim, and even that sort of thing. And it just came to my mind that God was saying in a way that there was no room for any trickery here. These were water jars, probably used for ceremonial cleansing. They were filled to the brim with water. And just water. That was it. There was no additives, nothing at all. There was a miracle that needed to take place in order for that water to be turned into wine. And what that might be saying to us today was something that I began to pray about. First of all, we need to realise, of course, in that story, the master of ceremonies there would have been acutely embarrassed that here they were gathered for this important occasion and the wine had run out. Secondly, there didn't appear to be a way around this, except for Jesus' mother had a bit of a clue. Because she knew that the angels had said something very special about her son, and she kind of intimated it was time for him to act, and he said, it's not my time yet. But still he said to them, go and fill the water jars with water, and to the brim is what they filled that out absolutely and completely. This miracle, of course, was a sign. And it's always that way, really. Miracles always point to something beyond themselves. The sign that the disciples and others saw led them to a period of devotion and worship. We're told at the end of this experience that those disciples believed in him, and of course they followed him. We're in the season of Epiphany, where we've been thinking about the wise men as they came to the stable and they saw the miracle of God being born in the flesh there. And the first thing that they did was to worship him. In the story that we heard in the Old Testament, we saw that the widow of Zarephath, in a time of great famine, took all that they had, just water and some flour, and it was going to be sufficient to feed them. Quite an extraordinary turn of events. The pattern that we have, it seems to me, here is the pattern of miracle revelation which leads to worship. I began to think about really the miracle of new birth as Christians and how God leads us into faith in him, to follow him all the days of our life, and what it is that causes us to become those who are his followers and disciples. What is the miracle that takes place? How does God begin to turn our hearts around to follow him? And we begin to see that, of course, all we can bring to him is ourselves, and that our sinful selves, our lives, that needs to be turned around. And we mustn't hold anything back. Just like those water jars, they need to be filled to the brim. And this is me, God. And I know that not everything about me is as it ought to be. But I know that you can turn things around. And as God calls us into that extraordinary, loving relationship with him, so his graciousness begins to fall on us. And the miracle begins to occur. And what is within, which has been soured by life itself, and our fleshly, natural lives, needs to be turned around. We need to follow the living God who puts a new spirit within us and changes our hearts around. So we offer what we are, and he makes us become what we need to be. He puts a spirit, a new heart within us, the Holy Spirit of God. And once we understand this revelation that God can do this, and we see this for ourselves, so it leads us to that place of worship. We need to be able to see that it's God who brings it about. It's not duty. There is a certain I will worship, that's what we were saying, I will worship. But I will worship with all of my heart because, in fact, God has called me. And I sense that even though I am unworthy, he allows me to come into his presence day by day to worship him. And then, of course, he's seeking us to worship him in spirit and in truth. And that's another element to what worship is about. What is truthful about the way I am worshipping and the way you are worshipping? Does it stand true beyond Sunday? We please God, it does. And we try to follow him and to be led by his spirit in this particular way. But each day we come with empty kind of water jars and ask him to fill us afresh so that the miracle can begin each day. So they can fill us with his spirit and so that the worship that we offer will be in spirit and in truth, his spirit and in complete truth. And it's a lifetime's work, isn't it? That God is working on us, shaping us and changing us, pointing out the things that aren't quite right. And there's plenty in my life, and I suspect in all of our lives too, things that we continue to get wrong, and yet God is so gracious. I mean, his love is so immense. There's the amazing story of Livingstone as he comes across the waterfalls in Africa. And he is absolutely astounded by the immensity of what's happening before his very eyes as the water's pouring over the falls into the gorge below. And he's transfixed by what he sees. And he begins to see that that's the immense nature of God's extraordinary love. We can't outgive him. And we can't be so far from him that he will not pick us up and carry us off into his loving care. And so we need to know that's the measure of God's extraordinary love and grace. And that in itself, when it's revealed to us, when we understand the enormity of what God has done on the cross, which is foolishness for those who don't believe, as we heard in the other reading, when we begin to grasp that for the first time, that's revelation. God reveals it to us. This is what God has done, yes, for the world to which he sent his son, but he's done it for me personally and you, all of you personally, for each and every individual being that opens their lives to Almighty God. And we offer, just like those stone jars, empty, and let God fill them afresh. I think that's an extraordinary thing, but to the brim. It's his miracle, not mine. So often, we try to add something to it. If only I do this, this, and this, God will bless me more. It doesn't kind of work that way. The blessing is completely and utterly in God's hands. And that should lead to worship. I will worship with all of my heart. And we need to be aware that sometimes we won't feel like worshipping God. There will be times when we think, it just feels so dry. What's going on, Lord? And that will happen to us because the events of life can crowd in and crush out the presence of God. But that's what we bring him that day. That's what we offer to him that day. Our honesty in worship. That's worshipping in spirit and truth. Today, Lord, I feel wretched. Please lift me up. And he will hear those words. He will forgive you your sins. And he will lift you up and fill you with his Holy Spirit. That takes revelation. And to allow God to speak to us in this way, we need to be continually coming to worship him. At the beginning of each day, offering our lives afresh for all that he has before us. And then, of course, on the Sabbath day. This isn't the Sabbath day Old Testament style, but this is the day that we are setting aside before God to worship him. And if you can't do a Sunday, then you need to choose another day if you're working, because sometimes, you know, we're working. Some people will be working on Sundays, but you need to find another day which you will dedicate to the Lord God to worship him and worship him alone. Because that's what he demands of us. Almighty God had a rest at the end of creation, and we need to enter into his rest too. Because that's where worship ultimately leads. It leads into knowing the rest that God can bring. And in this crazy, busy world that we live, where we are encompassed about on every side by communication, people can get at us at any point in our lives, probably this morning if your phone's on. But we need space from that so that God can do his work in our lives. We all need that. And Jesus can do that miracle in us. He does it at the beginning of our time when we come to acknowledge him as our Lord and our King. But he does it day in and day out. So we bring ourselves afresh to him today. And we say, I will worship with all of my heart. I will come before the living God and seek his refreshing waters that can spring up from within as I allow him to do that work within me. And I will offer all that I am each day, even though sometimes I've made the biggest mistake ever, and say, God, this is me today. And I want him to do his work. Don't try and add to it. Don't try and outgive him, because we'll never achieve that. Just allow him to do his work and to change you and to draw you nearer to him. Read his word, pray, worship. There's a challenge on this year from the diocese, and it is during Lent, to read the Bible, either together or on your own. But there will be opportunities here to do that. But do read God's word and allow him to speak to you and to speak to the condition of your heart as he speaks to mine. And allow him to change the dirty water that's within into the most precious of wine, because that's what he wants us to be before him. And allow him to do that today and tomorrow and the next day. Let's be still for a moment. Thank you.